So there's a culture that could be existed or exist in city council that we need to look at. The expenditures, the who gives a crap stuff, that I'm gonna, you know, that we're what, $863 million in CODs, certificates of obligation.
Yeah. Or,
no, $2.3 billion in debt. So yes, a gas card might be minimal, but it leads into other stuff. Okay, so I want people to understand that. So I encourage people to stand up and do what they need to do, and you know, and speak their mind and make those complaints. And believe it or not, it's going to lead up to something. And I know this for a fact, because when in advocacy, disability rights advocacy, it's the same kind of trend. You make a complaint. Well, not, you know, that's a complaint, but you make a complaint. Little by little, people, more people complain. Guess what? The city changes.
Hello, and welcome back to the El Paso Beat. I am your host, Richard Janetta, and I have to keep this quick because I am pretty much out of posting time. I did not get everything in order as I liked this last weekend. I will hopefully get this next weekend, and then everything will be in order, and the podcast will be available on all the other platforms. For now, I am only available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and I don't have the super wowy magical audio editing that comes with the podcasting platform just yet. Hopefully next weekend that'll kick in too. So, and then I did have some my fault technical issues with my microphone. However, I will say that the audio quality on this interview is like just miles away better than my interview with Chairman Apodaca. My apologies to Chairman Apodaca about that. Next time will be better, I promise. And this one, at least you can hear both of us clearly, and you can just tell that my microphone is not my regular microphone, and it's the laptop microphone, which isn't the worst, but you can just hear like the weird quality difference. But anyway, I thought it was a great conversation with George Zavala, and you know what? I will talk about my reflections on about it with you on the other side. Okay, folks. Today's guest is another returning guest from the past iteration of the El Paso Beat. Has been an advocate for people with disabilities for a long time, and has kind of transcended that in his most recent actions, advocating for everyone. You'll know Mr. Zavala as the citizen who filed the ethics complaint against Cassandra Hernandez for the gas card violation. And we have history. We're friends, George and I. And so I know that, you know, I've mentioned this a couple episodes ago, but you know, I know that this is coming from a place of it's authentic. I trust George. I trust his motivations and why he's doing this. And so now that we are back making, you know, having conversations, I felt that this was one of the conversations that we needed to have really early on, because we have that relationship and because we can really flesh this out and kind of see where we go from here. And so with that, I'd like to welcome back to the El Paso Beat, George Zavala. Welcome, George.
Thank you. Yeah, I missed your podcast, brother, because you give good content. And yeah, so I'm glad you invited me. And I just want to give my perspective, the motivation, the intent, all that good stuff, because people, unfortunately, when they hear something, they assume or they make their own conclusions. So I'm here to set the record straight as to why I did what I did and why it's important that others do it, and hopefully inspire others to do it, which I've had, you know, some people reach out to me regarding that. But to me, it's just something that we have to do, you know, regarding making our elected officials at all levels accountable for what they do.
So let's start from the beginning. At what point did you decide that you were wanting to file the ethics complaint?
Okay. So to start the conversation, I just want to make sure that we understand that I'm giving my perspective from my personal experience, so it might be different from others. So I may say things that people might not agree with, but again, just people have to understand this from my perspective. And what I mean by that is, you know, you get to a point, Richard, where you just get tired of the constant expenditure of what city council does, and it impacts people at our level. When I say our level, people with disabilities, low income, sure. The elderly. Mm-hmm. And when you have someone that's elderly or even with a disability, have to make that determination where, do I live at home or do I live in a nursing home because I can't pay my taxes? And so that's kind of the emphasis, the motivation that kind of got me started. And then when the KVIA report came on, I think it was May 25th, it kind of pushed me over that little edge, I guess you want to call it. And I just got fed up. I'm like, you know what? Enough is enough. We have to uphold our elected officials, even though it's a gas card. Some people might see them as a kind of minimal. Mm-hmm. But that builds onto everything else that we were discussing regarding expenditures and attitudes and culture regarding the city council. So when I came forward, I'm not going to lie, I was ignorant of the other stuff in the background, which they say that it was politically motivated and mm-hmm. this and that. And I'm like, maybe I was ignorant to that, Richard, you know? So mm-hmm. I just continued on, and my focus was to show the unethical behavior of what she did with the gas cards. Mm-hmm. And mind you, with the Ethics Commission, one of the things that people must remember or understand under the Ethics Commission or Ethics Ordinance, there's a little component, a little verbiage that says clear and convincing evidence. So it's one thing that I can tell people to submit something and just say, oh, Richard doesn't like me. Mm-hmm. Well, is that unethical? Well, Richard doesn't like you because he did this. Well, then I have to show what he did, mm-hmm. right? So Ms. Hernandez, I was able to show with clear convincing evidence of she used her position to get unwarranted benefits, you know? And also to keep in mind, the commission is made up of 6 attorneys and 2 quote-unquote civilians. What I mean by that is, I think the other person was a former city clerk, and the other one, I'm not too sure what he did, but 6 were attorneys. So I was able to provide evidence that they concluded that they made a decision in my favor, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, during this process, Richard, I saw a lot of things. You know, you see things, you hear things, and until you experience, like, for example, someone tells you, oh, that restaurant, the food is, it's nasty.
Sure.
Yeah, you hear about it, but when you go eat, you're like, oh, it is bad. Mm-hmm. So you experience it. So when I email, you see things on TV about politicians ignoring questions and sidestepping. Sure. And you're like, But when you see it, experience it in real time, you're like, mm-hmm. wow. Mm-hmm. And for those 13 hours that we had the hearing on the 19th and the 20th, I experienced that. Mm-hmm. You know, they ask a question and yes or no question, and you get a 2-paragraph response. They're like, no, we asked you a yes or no question. And it's just sad. Again, I might be ignorant, but it's just sad seeing that in action. Like, wow, this person, there's clear and convincing evidence, but they keep denying it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, one thing I do want to say, at no time did I ever question her passion for her district, her community. And that was never my intent.
Okay.
My intent was to show her unethical behavior, which I did. Okay?
Okay.
And to me, that's what we need to focus on, the mm-hmm. behavior. Not Ms. Hernandez per se, her passion and what she does. I applaud her. But when it comes to her unethical actions, that's what we need to look at. And also remember this. Where does this lead? So in other words, if I got away with this, how about do away with this? So this year, get away with it. So I mean, you kind of push the envelope a little bit more. And to have the response, okay, we're all adults.
Sure.
So if you have a response of, well, they didn't tell me, well, there's no rules, well, I'm above, you're kind of like, really?
Yeah. You know? And, I feel that.
And now, mind you, just so your listeners know,
sure.
I am visually impaired, so I can't see people's faces. But I could sense the response.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when she was 16, I'm like, am I the only one? And sure enough, there's one the gentleman next to me that when and we're having the hearing, he's an attorney. He caught on right away. Like he's right. So I guess me and him were like, what do you call it, ESPN or ESP, what does it call that? And for example, just to put this in context, one of my complaints in my original Essex complaint was that Miss Hernandez was in Vancouver, British Columbia, which is in Canada, on September the 21st through the 24th of September of 2022. Mm-hmm. And then the reason I'm saying this is I'm kind of building up to where I'm going to get to. So I submitted my Essex complaint and I had to do exhibits. So one of the exhibits was the police report, was when I'm talking about the Vancouver trip, the Essex ordinance, and then the KVIA report. Mm-hmm. So those are the four essential exhibits that I used to provide for my claim. So going back to my exhibits. So she was in Vancouver from the 24th to the 21st to the 24th. And there's photo evidence of her husband with her. Now, the problem is that September the 21st and September the 22nd, according to the police report, her card was used here in El Paso. And when they asked her, one of the attorneys asked her, can you explain what happened? And the response that was provided is, I have not had time to reconcile my expenses. In my head, I'm like, wait a minute, you saw my complaint May the 26th. The verbiage or the language is in the complaint. So you saw what I'm complaining about. You would think that for me, I would kind of discredit that. Say, okay, you know what? Boom, boom, boom. This would happen. This is why it was used. Mm-hmm. She kept going around and around and around. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the hearing, that's one of the points the commissioners made, that she was being very untruthful. Mm-hmm. And that's what's sad, Richard, that people don't see that. They just see the politics, the glare, the lights, the glamour of being a politician. But they don't see when something like this occurs, they go, oh, no. But see what she does for her community. Mm-hmm. That's two different conversations. Mm-hmm. You know?
I guess I have a couple of points, and we kind of touched on a few of them, but are you satisfied with how things went down with the ethics committee?
Yes, because like I said before, I used a mechanism that has been established to form my complaint. Mm-hmm. It went through the process. Mm-hmm. There was a decision, and I'm satisfied now.
Okay.
Like one of the commissioners said towards the end of the very end of the hearing, I think the last 5 minutes, mm-hmm. he said it's up to the voters to decide to pull her from office.
Right.
Recalls, and I respect that. I respect that. Uh-huh. For me, another thing I want to mention before I forget.
Go ahead. Okay.
One of the things that came out when they made their decision is all of a sudden a flurry of information started coming on Facebook and the news and regarding what happens next. Mm-hmm. Regarding Ms. Hernandez's tenure on city council.
On the council, right.
So, if the commission had recommended her removal, city council would have had 14 days to do so.
Right.
But since they didn't, now the city council was regarding through the city charter, mm-hmm. they could do that at any time. Mm-hmm. So what I understand, there's not enough votes on city council for that, which makes sense. Which for me, in a way, it's kind of disappointing. Not removing her. That's not the point. Mm-hmm. Of no further action. Because a lot of people say, well, you wasted your time. Mm-hmm. In that sense, I don't think I did. Because it kind of put her on notice and other individuals on notice. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think I wasted my time. Now, there's things in the background that are moving that I think it will eventually come out that maybe might solidify what I've done. What I mean by that is, so when you, let's say me and you talk, Richard.
Sure.
And you say, I saw George with a red shirt mm-hmm. yesterday. Okay, whatever. Now talk to somebody else and say, I saw George buying a red shirt at the store yesterday. So in other words, there's two different discussions, but they have the same thing, the red shirt. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, ever since this started, May the 26th, I've been getting a lot of calls. People that I've never thought would talk to me out of the blue. And they started talking about something. And all of a sudden, they start connecting those red shirts. Boom, boom. So I can't really say it now, but there's things in the background that I think people should understand that it's not done yet. Okay, I don't know if you want to discuss that further. It's not...
It's, that's very cryptic, George.
I'm doing that on purpose.
I mean,
we could talk about it. I just want to make sure people understand this is all alleged. Okay, it's all alleged stuff, rumors. Now,
what's alleged? What's alleged?
Okay, so allegedly, I've heard to three different sources, good sources.
Okay.
Two within the city and one outside the city.
Okay.
Now, just keep in mind, folks, I've been doing advocacy for 10 years.
Sure.
With the city. So you build those communications, those communication bridges with people. And some people you're like, whatever. And some people you're like, oh, wow, okay. So I've been blessed in that sense where I have my sources and people, how did you know that? Well, I have my sources.
Yeah.
Good or bad, right? But my sources are saying that there is law enforcement involvement in it. Yeah. Of course, it has been confirmed. It was confirmed, if you remember, in the hearing. Now, mind you, time is all into the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, Candelon, the CFO,
mm-hmm.
they asked him about the report not being released because of law enforcement involvement.
Cortinas?
Okay. Is it Cortinas or Cardinal?
CFO? Our CFO?
Yeah.
It's still Cortinas, I hope. Yes.
Cortinas, okay. However, just to let you know, folks, prior to this, maybe, I want to say the hearing was Thursday, right? Yeah, July the 19th. So Monday, just to kind of supplement my complaint, I asked if the most recent audit for the gas card could be released during the hearing, which is 2020 and 2021.
Uh-huh.
But I had to respond to the outside counsel, Mr. Garza. So I asked him, city council, or the city clerk and the city attorney, if that report can be presented there at the hearing.
Uh-huh.
Tuesday evening, I got a response from Garza saying that report cannot be released because it has been forwarded to law enforcement. So that right there told me, okay, confirm that law enforcement, which I've heard in the background. Now, if you remember during the hearing, when Cardenas, that's the name I'm saying that wrong, sorry. The CFO, there you go. The CFO, when he was testifying and they were asking him questions, which is the commissioners, they asked him, could that report be released? And he said no, because it's being looked at by law enforcement. Okay, so an alleged statement, but it's been confirmed either by my email that I got from Mr. Garza and also what Mr. Cardenas said during the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's background movement. Well, now, was that involved? I have no idea. Okay, because there's other stuff in the background. Now, talking about that red shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm just alleging here. I'm just spitballing here, folks. So uh-huh. It's not, but it's just a kudink-a-dink, right?
Sure.
So if you go, allegedly, there's a certain, I'm not going to say the name, a certain company that's suing the city because of a contract,
uh-huh.
a construction contract. They're suing the city because apparently they were supposed to get $30 million of a contract.
Uh-huh.
And everybody in the background is like, how do you know that? You're not supposed to know. It's a bid. It's a bidding process. And supposedly that they were told that they're going to get that contract. Okay. This is a source that I heard of.
Okay.
So that construction company sued the city. But if you go back, and I'm not going to say which city council member, hint, hint. But if you go back, this construction company is a sponsor for one of their community events.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, that's kind of coincidence. But what I'm saying is, folks, there's stuff in the background we don't know. Maybe we don't want to know.
You know, I don't see why we wouldn't want to know.
what I mean by that is, a good friend of mine told me this quote. He says, "Be careful what rock you pick up because all the cockroaches start coming out."
Well, yeah, but like eventually, if we want to get the stuff fixed, we're gonna have to actually pick up those rocks and look at them. So okay. So there is speculation, possibility, hypotheticals. There are in the infinite span of multiple universes, at least a handful of timelines in which law enforcement gets involved. But let's put that aside for just like a sec here. Do you think she should be recalled?
I've been asked that question many of times,
Yeah.
and my response, if the voters support that, yes, but.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I'm going to stop you there. I come to you with a petition. Are you signing it?
Yes.
Are you willing to start the petition?
No.
Okay.
Let me tell you why.
Tell me.
Going back to my ignorance statement, when I made this complaint, Richard, I did not know all the stuff, and I can't say bad words, but stuff.
No, yeah, go for it, man. It's okay. I'm not writing it off anymore. It's fine.
All the shit that comes with it. What I mean by
Yeah.
this is the calls, the messages, the messenger messages, people taking me off Facebook, the
Really?
new, oh yeah, I have some people take, they stop talking to me, and
Because they feel that you're attacking her unjustly?
well, what it is, see they have to understand. There is a distinct difference, okay? Going back to what I said about being a disability rights advocate,
Sure.
she has done a lot for autism society, the autism group, and I respect that. So a lot of people are like, "How dare you, George? She's done a lot for us."
Sure, yeah.
And I'm like, again, you're not
It's not
looking.
about that.
Yes, it's not about
Right.
that. And like I've never said that. She's been a great city council member. That's fine. That's not my decision. Not my place to say anything. I'll focus mostly on her behavior. And that's why I was signed that document, that petition, because of her behavior, not because I don't know her. Richard, I don't know her. I know you pretty good compared to her. I don't know her. So it's not a personal thing. It's not a political and vendetta. It's not a, because she made that statement too towards the very end that it's political and this and that. One thing that I will say that she did take a personal shot at me. Well, not personal, I guess. She's made a statement that Mr. Zavala likes to leak stuff to the media.
I heard
And I'm like,
that and
what? Everything that, if anything that comes out is open records. It's not hidden. I mean, to me, when she says that, I'm like, really? Okay, where? Prove it. You know what I'm saying? So everything,
don't let that get under your skin.
yeah. So, but. What I'm saying is, to me, we have to just focus on the behavior, what she did. Not only her. If you notice, I try not to use her name too much because I don't want to make it personal. But we have to understand it's anybody. The mayor, the city manager, don't matter. Matter of fact, right after that report came out about Miss Hernandez, there was a report about Oscar Leeser. And right away, people call me, "Oh, see, well, you like Mr. Leeser. Now what are you going to do?" And I'm like, what? So I look at the report, something about he used his gas card when he was in city council, and but he cleared it up. He said, that's my security police officer that did it. Come on, guys. Do you really think Oscar Leeser is going to be at a gas pump putting in gas in his car? Seriously? I mean, can you drive by and see Oscar Leeser putting gas in? Is that Oscar Leeser putting gas in his car? But what I mean is, even if it was him, so be it. If he did something wrong, so be it. That's, to me, it's just the behavior. We have to, because think about this, Richard, and anyone that's listening. What made in Ms. Hernandez thought of the brain process that she was okay to do what she did? So to me, my response is the culture. There's a culture within city council where, oh, okay, even let's not even go to the procurement cards, the P cards. Was Claudia Rodriguez and other stuff. So there's a culture that could be existed or exist in city council that we need to look at. The expenditures, the who gives a crap stuff, that I'm gonna, that we're what, $863 million in CODs, certificates of obligation, or $2.3 billion in debt. So yes, the gas card might be minimal, but it leads into other stuff. Okay, so I want people to understand that. So I encourage people to stand up and do what they need to do. And and speak their mind and make those complaints. And believe it or not, it's going to lead up to something. And I know this for a fact, because when in advocacy, disability rights advocacy, it's the same kind of trend. You make a complaint, well, not, you know, that's a complaint, but you make a complaint, little by little, people, more people complain. Guess what? The city changes. I guess I might be ignorant to that point. But going back to the startup, the signing the petition and starting the petition, I'm going to say no, because it takes a lot.
Yeah, mentally, that's, you know, a lot of work.
No, well, I mean by physically, mentally. Yeah, to me, it's, you know, people calling me out and cussing me out. And
Like, all that, you know, that comes with it, yeah.
So I'm like, you know, doing the petition, starting the petition, no.
Okay.
I right away the next day, I had like three people reach out to me. Oh, we'll help you in this. I'm like, no. I'm good.
Okay.
So I'm out of that. But I will sign it.
Okay. I will sign, if someone else is willing to take the heat.
I've heard there's two people in the room.
I hear rumblings. And so I kind of feel like, though, and maybe I'm wrong for us feeling this way, but I kind of feel like you have to give some kind of endorsement. Like, if you don't sign it, then I don't think they have a strong leg to stand on.
That's what I'm saying. I endorse it. Like I told the guy from KV, I endorse it, but the process to do it,
you don't want to have to shoulder that. And
because there's a lot of trolls out there, folks, that until you get involved in it, then you know what be careful what you wish for. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, usually, like, you know, I want that new brand new car, but then you have to worry, oh, the insurance is expensive. Man, the gas is expensive. And with this, folks, you know, I understand that, but sitting there for 13 hours and then maybe 2 months prior to that with all the caca that goes with it, you know, and it, my wife, and I'm like, no, you know what? No, it's going to be another 60 days of petitioning for signatures. I'm like, no.
I respect that. You said that you were satisfied. So I guess asking if not that you regret doing it or that you're glad that you did it, but, you know, I guess
I would do it again.
You would do it again?
I would. Like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I would do it
again. In a situation that warranted. And I guess that makes sense, because you feel like you're just doing what needs to be done, huh?
Yes. And to me, you have to start somewhere, Richard.
Yeah.
Someone somewhere has to do something to start the movement or to start that discussion. So for me, it is what it is. I did what I did. There was clear and convincing evidence. I'm good. They voted for my favor, and I'm good. Mm-hmm. Now, whatever they voted for, I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to the recall, yes, absolutely, I'll sign it. Now, does that mean I'm mad at her? Or, you know, if I see her, I'll say hi. Now, if she'll say hi to me, that's a different story. But it's not political. It's not personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not personal. So now, what I don't like is all the other stuff that comes with it. What I mean, the secondary vindictive stuff, not towards me. But what I'm saying is, allegedly, this is all speculation, right?
Mm.
So when I filed my complaint, May the 26th, she had till June the 20th, I believe, to respond, and then she got an extension to the 29th. Her and the attorney responded to my complaint.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a Friday, I believe. The 29th, I believe, is a Friday or a Thursday. I'm not sure. I want to say, yeah, it was a Thursday. Anywho, so Monday, I got my little chismes going, my little rumors going on that, oh, they're gonna file complaints against Anello, Kennedy, and Molinan. That's what I heard. I'm like, really? But that was just what I heard, but from a real good source. Sure enough, Wednesday they filed after 4th of July. Wednesday, I think it was July the 5th. They filed a petition for the recall for Hernandez from Molinan.
Mm-hmm.
And then they filed the two complaints against Molina, Kennedy, and Anello. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, in my head, I mean, was it a person? Was it a group of people? Was it what happened? And they told me, well, it was one person, and that she belongs to a pack. And I'm like, a pack? So then they told me, yeah, she belongs to a pack, and her last name was Paz, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so my thing was, okay, what happened? And then people call me, see, it's your fault now. They're retaliating against Millie Madden because of your complaint. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, what a coincidence that she's responding on the 29th. The next week over, all these complaints come in or recall. So I'm like, well, first of all, what's going on? So they filed the complaints and our as a complaint and the recall. And there's a person, I think her name is Betty Paz, Boz, I think it is. I'm not too sure. I forgot her name now. And by the way, she showed up at the hearing, by the way, to provide testimony from Hernandez. So this pack, it's not alleged because it is fact. This came on, there's a report. I forgot who reported it. This pack, you have to register with the state, right? We all know that. When they registered the pack with the state, it was 525 San Francisco Street. But then at the same time, Ms. Hernandez's husband, Jeremy Jordan, has a consulting company that does provide consulting for this to get grants and contracts with the city. What a coincidence. And his address is 525 San Francisco Street. So I'm like, really? So what I mean is you see it in real time, you see the vindictiveness. When you hear about it, it's not true. But when you see it, so in other words, Ms. Paz theoretically, allegedly, filed those complaints because she was being vindictive towards Hernandez, right? Allegedly. We got to say all those words, right? Because you have to say all those legal words. But to me, it takes away from the process, in my opinion. Because that process is made to be for legit merit
complaint. I mean, we can talk about Joe Molinato. I mean,
I feel
like he should have been much more. I think he got off easy, particularly for what was alleged. And like, you know.
Let me tell you this. From Molinad, you are correct. Now, is there enough power to redo a recall? Because we have to remember too, folks.
Well, see, and that's the other thing. Well, okay, so that's the other conversation too. Is it worth the recall for Joe? And like, I had argued no in the first episode or the second episode, one of the previous first episode back. I mentioned that I didn't think it was worth recalling Cassandra. I didn't think it was worth recalling Joe, because for both of them, it would mean having a candidate have to campaign for a special election, essentially, or at a off time when they weren't already planning for it. And it limits the ability of grassroots candidates or less financially suited candidates to get in the game. Like if a candidate is thinking about running for an open seat right now, and you know, maybe we don't know who they are because it's, you know, someone who's left and recently come back to El Paso and they live in that district and they have a new degree and have some experience and they want to, you know, serve the city as a city councilor. And they're planning for a November election because that's when the election is. You know, like, how much do we gain from having the special election for the recall right now? Like, is what they did, Cassandra Hernandez or Joe Molinar, so egregious that they need to be removed from office? I mean, typically, in my opinion, recalls should only really be used if an elected official did something criminal, like truly criminal. And even though Joe Molinar's thing is gross, there wasn't like a criminal conviction there. And so even I have to concede that, like, nah, he should have gotten a lot more than just the verbal wrist slapping he got. But, you know, I will settle with him having a whole slate of people running against him for his reelection bid.
And that's the point I was going back to my ignorance, I'll say that word a lot. I didn't realize that, Richard. Let's say, for example, that the commission had recommended her removal.
Mm-hmm.
The consequential effects.
For
me, would have been that oops, because you're right. Not only that, but the cost of a special election. So you know, we have to put this in context. So next year, Ms. Hernandez is out, no matter what.
Right.
So to me, okay, well, let's say somebody does a petition today. Mm-hmm. Or let's say tomorrow. What's the tomorrow? Whatever day it is.
They have 60, yeah. 60 days.
They have 60 days, and then they have to do that. So I'm like, okay, but she's out next year.
Yeah.
So to me, that's not, I guess because I wasn't motivated to, I didn't have no meme intent. I was just focused on her behavior. Mm-hmm. The other consequential stuff didn't. I did ask for her removal, yes, but I didn't think of what happens if it does happen.
That, right. You know? No, I get that. And that's fair because, you know, this stuff isn't like everyone knows this stuff, you know, it's, but like, yeah, that's my position. And so when I hear these rumblings for a recall for both of them, you know, and I'm kind of in the same position as you are. When you said it, I was kind of smiling to myself. It's, if someone else wants to go through the work of, you know, making the petition, getting it filed, getting all the signatures, making sure they're authenticated, getting it done on time, yada, yada, yada. Like, if they really want to go through it, if I were in the district, like, I would get it. I'd probably sign, you know, but I'm just kind of glad that I'm not in the district and I don't have to.
Yeah, because, for this, for District 3, I think it's 4,800 and something.
Yeah.
And change.
It's not. And I'm like, it's a lot.
That's a lot. And I'm like, you have 60 days. I broke it down. You have to get X amount per day. And,
yeah.
And to me, I'm like, so not only that, Richard, but as you know this, recalls historically have not been successful.
Exactly.
Now, for politicians, not for when they did for UMC, that's totally different because they had money. They had the petitioners.
Right.
Had money behind them, so that's different. But a community-driven petition, dude, we don't even have people that didn't vote.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, you have like 4 or 5% voted or whatever it is, a ridiculous low numbers.
Go ahead.
And for me, it didn't, like you said, didn't deem the process. For me, it's not necessary to go through the recall process. Now, if it was different, let's say she's already started her tenure, her second tenure,
sure.
Maybe the discussion would be different, but yeah, okay, just let it be. You know, she's going to be out next year. Now, the thing that we have to worry about going next year is having people go out and vote.
Yeah.
Spawn that movement. Like, you know, like, and I gave you credit, Richard, because we've known each other for a while when you ran for city council. Young people to go out there. You don't have to have a degree. You have to have that passion and knowledge. The understanding of how it is to make a difference, because as we've seen, we've had people there. We've had a doctor, Dr. No. We've had a millionaire. We've had this and that. A city council member. Look where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Look where we're at. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes that document or that $1 million or that whatever doesn't really count for us. You have to have that passion. You know. So I gave you, Richard, a lot of credit. Wesley, a lot of credit for being a young man, for going out there and trying to do, you know, the best. We may not agree with everything that you say or he says, but
sure.
You know what? We have to respect that.
I appreciate you, George. You know?
And for me, we have to encourage people to go out there and vote. What I did, encourage people to go out there and just make their elected officials accountable. Whatever, how you're, you know, if you want to write an email, file a Nessus complaint, go to the news, just make them accountable, really.
Yeah. So you would never consider running, sir? I mean, there's an open
I've had next year. I've had several people call me out on that.
It is a fair question. If you're levying a complaint, you know, it's kind of like, all right, well, you step up and do it better, you know?
Well, for me, I say, you know, I'm in a unique position, Richard. And the only reason why I say that is because what I did, right, the ethics complaint.
Yeah.
But I've always, and I also have the privilege of being a part of a lot of changes within the city when it comes to people with disabilities, from the Sun Metro to accessibility to.
And I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Well, I'm saying, so I've had that background where I've seen changes, I've been part of those changes. As a matter of fact, right now we're talking with the city or with a county regarding forming a ADA committee for the county, which is going a good way. So I've been a part of a lot of discussions or a lot of changes with tangible changes where I could point to say, okay, I've been a part of that. So I understand what it takes to do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, do I want that stuff that comes along with it?
100%.
So, I mean, because I, like I said, I've been there, I've done it. When people say, well, what? I had one gentleman during this process, Richard, the messenger. He's like, what have you done? All you do is you're complaining about this. And I'm like, well, where do we start? And, yeah. I'm not trying to be that because I if you notice, during my postings and our discussions, I say we. It's never been an I stuff because I've never done this. I've been a part of it. Yes, I've led an initiative. But it's not. Nobody is never an I when it comes to doing stuff. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. When the city had this program called the On Demand Program in 2017, and what that program does, it allows for curb cuts for those who use a mobility device. So in other words, you live in a neighborhood where it doesn't have a curb cut. There is no funding in 2017, nothing. So a group of us came up, we went to city council. No, wait a minute. We went to every city council member. See, people don't realize what it takes. It's a process. So we went to every city council member back then, 2017, and asked for their support. And then we went in front of city council. Then I met with the city manager and the mayor. And guess what? We got $500,000 as a line item budget going forward. So in other words, since 2017, there's been $500,000. But again, I could point to that and say I did it, but I didn't do it. It was a we process.
Sure.
So that's what I'm saying. I've been part of the discussions, but again, do I want all that stuff?
I mean, all I will say is that when this was all in the mix, like when we were in the thick of it, the hearings and everything like that, someone was asking me about, you know, some context about everything that was going on. And I said, well, you know, and they were asking like, oh, do you think, you know, what she says about it being sexist or misogynist or whatever. And I mentioned this also in the first episode is that, you know, I know you and I know the work you've done. And this isn't just like some rando off the street who's yelling and throwing a temper tantrum over something. Like, you have receipts to the work that you've done. You have, you know, reason to claim that you are a stakeholder within this community and reason to be able to claim to represent this community and members of the community as a whole. And so when you're saying that you're here making sure that people are held accountable, I believe you.
Well, let me tell you this, Richard. This is what people don't realize. This is not my first rodeo. Okay, but what I mean by that is I've had many discussions, arguments in front of city council. Matter of fact, I what was her name from District 8? Court Kelly? Nyland? Was it Nyland? No.
I don't know her name.
She was District 8.
You're talking pre-2020? I don't know.
No, she was...
Before Lisa Daga?
No, she was... she was 2013,
2014. Oh, yeah, I have no clue.
But anyways... I had, because she was saying the city rep. I want to say Nyland? No, it wasn't Nyland. Anyways, so I'm in city council, and this city council rep, she kept saying, well, I understand what you're saying, you know, about people, you know, people with disabilities. And I asked her, ma'am, at that time I was the chair of the AAC, of the Accessibility Advisory for the city. And I asked her, you know what's funny, ma'am? I never seen you or anybody from your office in one of our meetings. So you say, so not knowing I'm in the city council, you gotta remember I'm blind. So sometimes I forget where I'm at. So I'm having a discussion with her. And I'm like, really? So I was calling her out. I'm like, really? You know, she wants to stay faced with this. All right. And then I'm going back with her. And then all of a sudden I hear from Oscar Leeser, Mr. Zavala, you made your point, but ooh, I backed off. But what I mean is, this is not my first rodeo. Now, to this level, when it comes to hearing, yes. But it's not my first. You don't know this. Let me tell you another example, folks, just to give you an example. 2013, Emma Costa was still city rep for District 3.
Okay.
So, she had meetings, community meetings at the lunchbox near Montana. Bruckner Street, I think it's called.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. Good spot. Good enchiladas.
So she was having her community meetings there, but the restrooms were not accessible. So we asked her, can you please move it to where someone in a wheelchair can attend your meetings? She says, no. Okay. So I sent her an email. And she responded that, you know, saying, no, Sabala, no, this is an established community meeting. Blah, 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 I'm not moving it. Okay, fine. So guess what? Next city council member meeting, city council meeting, I was there. And I printed out that email just in case. So I'm there at the podium. I go, Miss Hernandez, Miss Acosta, where are you at? I can't see you. I'm right here in front of Mr. Sabala. I'm like, okay. And I go, ma'am, I know it's bad manners. I apologize by pointing my finger to her. I go, I'm going to ask you once again, Miss Acosta, can you please move your meeting to a community center or somewhere where people in wheelchairs could attend your meeting? Well, Mr. Sabala, of course. I don't have to take that into consideration. And I'm like, well, it's funny you said that because you told me no. Mr. Sabala, no, I never did that. Okay, can you please pass out that email I just gave you, that printed email? And they passed it out to all the city council members. And my mom was with me, rest her soul. And afterwards, she told me, Mijo, she's seen her face turn red, 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 red. Because I called her out. She said no to me. And then she said yes, or I'll think about it in public. So I had to call her out. So it's not the first time, folks, I've done this. Now, let me tell you something else.
Mm.
That same restaurant, Mr. Richard, the owner did not want to make the modifications. This is why I say I'm in a unique position in my life. Guess what we did? We boycotted, called it direct action. We actually stood. How many people could say that? We actually stood in front of the door to block people from going in. Why? And the owner's like, how dare you? You're blocking my business. People can't come in. Well, guess what? You're blocking the restroom for someone that's with a disability. Can't use the restroom. And he made the changes. I have to give to Mr. Rios that credit. He did come back. But we had to go through all that ball and chain circus stuff, what do they call it? Ponies and whatever they call it, do all that circus stuff for him and make those changes. But I've been there, Richard. I've been blocking doors. They had the cops call the cops on us. So for me, making someone accountable, I'll do it again. Now, this is different because it was more political or more public. The media got involved. And so this is, yes, I will say that this was a different experience, but putting people accountable, not my first run.
And that's why I'm saying, if you ran, I mean, you have a very good story, sir. You need a good story to win an election. Doesn't matter what level election, like to be a truly good candidate, you need a good story and a good message, and you have a really good story and message. You're not wrong. Like you're a very smart guy, and you are very right in assessing the crap that would come with being an elected official. But I'll be damned if I don't recognize that you would bring an amazing perspective to the council, one that has not been on a city council, I think, for El Paso, at least not one for a very, very long time. And could truly, you know, uplift, you know.
Well, I think what happens a lot, Mr. Richard.
Go ahead.
And I've shown this. And people think that I'm. They call me ankle biter or troublemaker. Or they call me this and that. But see, what it is, when I serve on boards or committees, for example, I've been on the board of directors for Velar, for the Arc of El Paso. Currently, I'm one of the founders for El Paso Vibe. And when I was the chair for the CAC, which is for the Mass Transit Department, and the Accessibility Advisor Committee, I told everybody on the committee. Some of them are friends, some I don't know. And I would tell them, you know what? When I'm on this committee or board of directors, my loyalty, or it should be, it shouldn't be mine, it should be our loyalty. It's not to each other. It's not to this nonprofit. It's to the stakeholders. Because at the end of the day, the decisions that we make impact the stakeholders. And so that's why I've always had back and forth on with the board of directors, because they're like, God, George, you argue a lot. I'm like, no. I'm looking out for my stakeholder. And if it means that we have to sit here for the next 3 hours, so be it. But we need to fix it, not just toss it under the, okay, you know what, whatever. And that's something we need to fix, because if we don't just kick it down the street, the can down the street, Richard's never going to get fixed. That's, like I said, it might be my ignorance. Maybe it might be my inability to see people, and I just take, you know, I just go forward blindly, quote unquote, and want to make things right. And because people tell me, George, you get intimidated. And I'm like, you know what? I can't fear what I don't see. The only thing I'm being very honest with you, the only thing that intimidate me are my 6-pound chihuahua and my wife. Right?
Yeah.
And I just wish more people like you, Richard, when you ran for city council, would step up, you know, be part of the process. I have this hashtag on Facebook, no participation, no progress. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just be part of the process, whatever it may be, voting, going in front of city council, participating in meetings. Folks, being a disability rights advocate or any kind of advocate is grinding. Like sitting like those 13 hours at the hearing, or when I'm doing something to help someone, my wife will tell you 10 hours on the computer is nothing. But it's my passion, and more people need to just start doing that. And I think we'll be in a better position, Richard, if more people just started, just instead of sitting on their sofa and complaining, get off their butt and try to do something.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with that. So I mean, what do you think? Do you think she's going to get recalled? Do you think it's going to happen?
No, because of the numbers.
Yeah.
The numbers, and she's had, you know, not for nothing, she has done a lot for the committee.
She
now
has. I'm not going to deny that either.
Now, like, to the extent, I'm not too sure about that, because I've heard a lot of people that complain about her, but that's neither here or there. If the people decide that, you know? Hmm. And it's another thing that we have to make clear there, Richard, is if someone makes us, how can I say this without saying, so when you ask someone a question, it's, you know, how they respond is kind of gives them credibility. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, matter of fact, me and my wife were just talking about that. So during the hearing, of course, it's all recorded. You go back and hear it. I'm not sure what time of day, you know, the time stamp and what part of the process of the hearing. But when she was making her statement, or her, I guess, closing statement or opening statement, she was saying that she does a lot for her community, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But then she made a statement that her district is over 700 million something centimeters or cubic millimeters, or I heard it. And I'm like, I had to be careful because I know the camera was on me. That couldn't make the caca face. So I had to make sure. Like, so when I heard the 700 million, I'm like, did I just hear that? And the gentleman that I keep telling you about next to me, real nice gentleman, I don't remember his name, he caught it. And he's like, wait, he goes, so Ms. Hernandez, you're telling me, what did you just say, 700 million, what? And he goes, so he broke it down, I guess he had a calculator or whatever. He goes, so really your area is only 26 square miles. So he goes, so why are you saying 700 miles, 700 million millimeters? I forgot what she said. But what I mean is, why do you twist stuff? Why do you have to do that? That doesn't... For example,
it's all part of the game, George. You're gonna have to. You have to learn it when you get elected.
What I'm saying is that the police report, and I made a point of this towards the end, when she said, "Well, see, the police department did not go through to prosecution because they didn't find enough evidence." And I'm like, "Well, not necessarily." So in my closing, I said, "Well, if you look at the police report, and I believe the number was 2310173, if you look at that." It stated, and even D.A. Hicks came on Channel 7 and said that the D.A., the ADA, the Assistant District Attorney, were not provided the full details. So they did not prosecute because of that reason. Not because they didn't find anything, but because they were not provided the full details. Mm. So that's what I'm saying. We want to make sure that we're talking the truth. Again, if I do run for city council, I'm going to use the word ignorance a lot because I do have a lot of ignorance because I just want to see what's best for the community. And if I do run for city council, at least you don't have to worry about a gas card.
That's a fact. thank you so much for joining me, sir. It's a real pleasure to have you back. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. If things end up escalating, I'm sure I will bring you back on so we can soapbox narrate.
But you know what's funny you say that, Richard? I hope it doesn't.
Hand to God, I do too. I hope not to.
The reason I say that, it is what it is. It happened, you know, the process for me. Now, mm-hmm. Again, I'm talking from my personal experience.
Sure.
If it escalates, you know, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
But for me, I told my wife, I hope it doesn't escalate. Because she told me, babe, what happens if... I hope it doesn't go there. Oh, yeah. Because the stuff that's going to come my way again, oh, my Lord. You know, it's a lot. For my mental health, it's a lot.
No, yeah.
What I mean by that is because they come at me and I have to sit there and explain. I feel like just where I want to record myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a play. Okay, this is what I mean, right? But what I mean is, you know, oh, how dare you? How dare you? I'm like, well, again, it's not her. It's her behavior.
I feel you. Yeah.
The media, Richard, my Lord, I thought I was going to have to get a public relations person. I had the one from Juarez, Adario, Apostle Matter, all these. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
So, yes and no. If it escalates, yes. But at the same time, for me, personally, no. Because the stuff that comes along with it. And I'll do it again. Because we need to do... It needs to be done. Yeah. But at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, Richard, before we leave.
Oh.
I don't know, would you ever consider running for city council again? And what was your experience? I mean, real quick.
We have like a minute left. if the resources were there for me to run again, I would run again. If the resources were there and like I had a good handful of people that I respect, who are like, you need to run again, you know, we will help you. If I feel like I'm gonna have a little bit more in my corner this time around than I did the last time, then I think I could consider it, but it's not anywhere near my realm of consideration at this time. I much more rather run your campaign. I would be happy to run your campaign for city council.
Let me tell you this. The reason I asked you, Richard, I asked you on purpose. Because you know how I say I want to inspire people to do what's good?
Sure.
You know, advocate or you and like you, Wesley, you know, other young people that come up and step up. Believe it or not, you inspire us, old farts like myself. So you know what? Maybe I should, you know, that was back then when you ran. And I think I told you.
If I could do it, you could totally do it. And you have this story of I am holding people accountable. You know that I am trustworthy and I will be a new standard of like what to expect from transparency and engagement and community responsibility from your elected official. You could do it just because of how much attention you've had, free media press you've had. You automatically wipe out so much of the money aspect.
Yeah.
I mean, and you would be in a real position to just grill Ellen Smythe all the
time. Oh, my Lord. You want to go there? My Lord. That's by the way, just to let you know, we might be going to city council August the 29th, actually. That's another story. But just real quick, so anyone that's just considering running for city council or any kind of position or responsibility, you must understand, it's a process. It's a long process to do what you need to do. And I don't know if this will be put context to it, but I'm going to – have I told you about hamburger theory?
Maybe. I'm always
into food.
So. Yeah. Tell me.
So my hamburger theory is you go to McDonald's or anywhere, you order your burger and you get it. Mm-hmm. You pay for it. That's all I want. I'm out. Right. That's what people, when they come to city council, I want my sub. I pay my taxes. I want it. I'm out. But they don't see the back end process for that. Mm-hmm. Bad or good. So what I mean by that is the hamburger, I got it. Okay. They don't see the process of slaughtering the animal, processing the animal, shipping the animal, cooking it, prepping it, and serving it to you. They don't see all the back end. This is where the corruption comes in. This is where all the stuff. All they want is their hamburger. I don't care how I want it. Mm-hmm. But what I mean by that is like our taxes. I want you to lower my taxes. Well, it's not that easy.
Right.
It's not a one-person process. It's a whole. And I believe, I think with this city council, Richard, I don't know if you agree, I think it's a new breath, a new vision, sort of thing.
I would definitely agree with that.
With Canales, Kennedy, and Fieto. Yeah, I think Anello, she's leaving next year. But I think it's a new direction they're changing. So, you know, we'll see how that goes with city council.
You could be part of it. That's all I'm saying. And we're going to leave it there. We're going to leave it there because we've taken – I was worried that we weren't going to talk for a full hour. We talked for a full hour. And so now I'm really thankful that you were able to join me here on the show again, sir. I'm really grateful that you were always supportive of the work that I've done. And we're definitely one of the people who was on me about coming back. And so I'm glad to –
Well, you know why, Richard? Real quick. People need to understand this. If they don't know the process or discussion, like what you used to do for city, where you had those weekly,
The recaps.
The recap. I'm not gonna lie to you, Richard. It helped me a lot. I'll listen to it, and I'm like, okay, because you gave more of a non-biased like commentary, like play by play.
Like it's pretty biased.
Yeah, like the quarterback's going back. And,
Gotcha.
It wasn't more like, darn Democrats or darn Republicans, and now even those nonpartisan the city council. But what I mean by that is there's not enough resources out there. Like you, Richard, another gentleman I know, Abel Rodriguez, what's his name, Martin Paredes from Paso News, all these other. We need that. We need that to feed us that information, because like what you say earlier in the beginning of our conversation, make that educated discussion or educated decision. So I'm whatever you can provide, I'm listening, man. Don't worry about that.
I appreciate you. I love you, sir.
Once again, I'd like to thank George Zavala for joining me here on the El Paso Beat. I think I did it. I think I convinced him to run for office, and I might have just signed myself up to run for his campaign. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But things are brewing, I think. And so, I don't know. Write in. Let me know what you think. Should George run for the District 3 seat? Let me know at theelpasobeat@gmail.com. You can also reach out to me on Instagram and Threads at the El Paso Beat. You know how to reach me. I think that was a illuminating. We got where George is at. I don't think Rep Hernandez wants to talk about this anymore. I don't blame her if she doesn't want to talk about it anymore. I do have a line on the Ms. Paz that George was referencing earlier. And she is going to be coming on at some point in my planned mental agenda so that we can talk about the recall and some of the things that have been said about her partiality and her motivations, and or as far as the PAC's motivations and partiality and things like that. So we'll have that discussion. Although what I think I am going to start scheduling is going to be district attorney candidate interviews. Rather, there are two that I know of. There might be more. I'll have to double check, but there are at least two. We can schedule those. I do want to get those taken care of because the sheriff's race is expanding a little bit more, and so I want to give that a little bit more time to see if anyone else jumps in. And I'm sure someone is going to jump into the DA's race, and we will continue and add those conversations as well. I'm also going to nudge the Senate candidates, Roland Gutierrez and Colin Allred, to have them on the show. Those conversations should be fun. And a bunch of stuff going on. I have my friend Ron Como, who is a very active animal rights advocate, and he is going to give us the down low on everything that has been going on and that he is currently undertaking. I have a feeling that the current stray animal issue / animal services is going to be kind of a major point for the mayoral race in the 2024 cycle. You heard it here first. I just feel like FitFam is stoking some flames when they're, you know, posting different animal stuff. You know, like animals being trapped and then people posting about strays and then people talking about breeders and not that they're intentionally doing anything. I just think that they are, you know, doing what they do and taking, you know, putting their finger to the pulse, and they're showing what the people are feeling and seeing. And that is an animal issue, an animal control issue in El Paso. And it's kind of bubbling to a head. And I feel like this seat, this new open mayoral seat, will kind of provide an avenue for that conversation to become centerpiece, because the mayor is really just figurehead. And so, you know, it really is the opportune time for them to, for issues focused people to step up and say, well, this is what matters to us. And like, where are you going to stand on these kinds of things? And what are you going to do to push a solution to come along? And ultimately, it's the city council folks who are going to move the money around and make that happen to fix this issue. Really, the mayor is not going to have some magic wand that's going to fix the animal control issue. But I do think that they are going to have some sort of cognizant solution, if not strategy, for approaching the whole thing. They cannot be, you know, out of touch with this. I think that this is going to be a major topic. Let me know what you're thinking about for the mayoral race and the DA's race and the sheriff's race. Let me know what you want to hear. Send me your questions. Again, the email is theelpasobeat@gmail.com. And again, you can also reach out to me on Facebook. Well, yeah, you can still reach out to me on Facebook, but mostly keep it to Instagram and Threads, please, @theelpasobeat. And yeah, this podcast is produced by Richard Henneta, features music by Enrique Ponce, and we'll see you on the next episode.